time. And Peter's talking to a people who are going through. Who are going through. And one of the reasons why I believe God placed this lesson or this series of lessons in Peter on my heart is because we got some folks in here right now today. Right now today that are going through.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
going
sir.
Through health wise, mm-hmm. going through with their children, going through with their grandchildren, uh-huh. going through with their spouses,
yes.
going through with their jobs, going mm-hmm. through, just going through.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Time out for happy, happy, happy messages all the time.
Yeah.
Mega churches discouraged. You come to church like this and it's not packed out, and you feel discouraged, like it's supposed to be packed. Church can't be packed if Mosquito Lake is packed.
Right.
Church won't be packed if the flea market is packed.
Amen.
Church won't be packed if the casinos are packed.
Amen. Yeah.
The world is pressing the church.
Amen.
And that faithful remnant are going to stand, and they're going to come to hear what thus say the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 9. And we're talking on a subject today, our precious Lord.
Amen.
Our precious Lord. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, mm-hmm. as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word,
mm-hmm.
that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Let me say that one more time. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner.
Mm.
And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are, but they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood,
mm-hmm.
and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness
Amen.
Into his marvelous light.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Father God, for calling us who believe out of darkness
Amen.
Into your marvelous light. Thank you, Father God, for the taste that we could not resist, a taste that guided us and just gave us the desire to cry out, Jesus, I need you.
Amen.
Father God, we ask that taste would just permeate through this place today. And someone, Father God, would cry out, I'm a royal mess, and I need Jesus in my life.
Yes.
Let's pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Last week we talked about the milk of the word. We talked about the milk of the word. We talked about, really, Peter was talking about babes in Christ. When you first come to Christ, I think Deacon Nate Pierre must have been thinking about the sermon from last week and talking about it. When you're a babe in Christ, you desire the milk. You can't take the hard stuff. You can't take the steaks and the hamburgers and different things like that. But as you grow, taste for solid food.
Amen.
And this is what Peter is saying this morning. He's talking about the solid food that the mature believer desires.
Amen.
I want fun and games and playing all the time. A lot of our churches have turned into glorified Chuck E. Cheese centers. It's just entertainment.
Amen.
And the true believer wants to hear the word of God.
Amen.
I don't want all that junk. I don't want pizza for dinner every day.
No.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
And here's Peter, and we're going to look at verse number 4 today, and we're going to examine it because it talks about who Christ is. The preciousness of the Lord. We see all this in verse number 4 of our text today. And it says, to whom coming? And again, Peter's talking to Christians, believers. And believe it or not, believers struggle.
Amen.
Let me say that again, because some folks think once you say your struggles, stop.
No.
Believers struggle.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I don't believe you can be a believer and not struggle.
Amen.
I believe struggling is the sign that you are a believer. I believe it's a battle that we're in when Satan and sin wages war against the Spirit.
Amen.
Paul was a struggler. He was a warrior. He battled not only on the outside, but he battled on the inside. Paul said, oh, that which I don't do, I want to do. And that which I want to do, I don't do. Oh, wretched man am I. Paul was in a battle. And he was an apostle at the peak, at the highest call in his life. He struggled.
Yes, sir.
You think you can come to the Lord and your struggles are over, you're in the wrong church.
Amen. Amen.
You're in the wrong church.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We're going to struggle.
Amen.
To glory. The word of God says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Mm-hmm. And he said that the righteous scarcely be saved. What hope do the unbeliever have? Mm. I'll tell you what hope the unbeliever has. None.
Amen.
Don't have no hope. Because if we in here praising the Lord and we worshiping the Lord and we giving ourselves and our sacrifices and our resources to the things of God, and we scarcely or barely get in.
Amen.
The folk that the man or the woman that cares nothing about the things of God don't. They used to say back in the day, they don't have a snowball's chance. Look at verse number 4. To whom coming? Who's coming? The Lord is coming.
Uh-huh.
Peter said the Lord has come for you. Remember, he's trying to energize, as the politicians would say, energize the base.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He's trying to energize these folks because they're going through.
Yes, sir.
And I don't care how strong you are in the Word of God, when crisis come and adversity come, it can take its toll on you.
Yes, sir.
And remember, these folks were under Nero. They were under Nero, and Christians were being killed. They were being taken and used as lamps at his party. He would take them and oil them down and use Christians as candles. We don't even know this type of persecution. Like I say, many of us in here, we scared to pray. And I have the boys at the table, and they would all say, well, we're Christians. And I say, well, somebody pray, and they look around. A little intimidated. Prayer can be intimidating. You go to, we don't have no go to crowd anymore. You don't see folks praying. They just sit down and eat. Don't want nobody to know they're Christians. There's a cost. Peter said there's a cost.
Amen.
Not only that, he said he came to pay the cost.
Yes, sir.
Who came? Look at verse number 4. To whom coming? We can stop right there. To whom coming? Look at Acts chapter 4. And we know this scripture very well, especially Acts chapter 4, verse 11, 12, rather. But we never really look at 11. I never really looked at 11 until this week. Now, this is coming off the heels of Peter preaching the gospel to these folks. Peter was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 8 in Acts chapter 4. And we move on into this thing. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Remember in chapter 3, the man came to the Lord and said, he was asking for an alms. And Peter said, Peter and John said, silver and gold have I not. But such as this I have. And he healed the man. And the man jumped up to his feet and glorified God. And people started coming to the Lord. Now look at verse number 10. He said, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him do this man stand here before you whole. There's the whole gospel. There's the whole gospel. Peter and all the apostles preached the gospel. How many know Peter was crucified upside down? They came and got him and crucified him upside down. He said, I want word to be crucified like my Lord and Savior. And so they crucified him upside down. But God had already told him he was going to die a certain way. He said, God had told Peter, they're going to come get you against your will. He preached the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead. Death, burial, resurrection. This was the message. Now look at verse number 11. He said, to whom come? To whom come? Verse number 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Who was the builders? The scribes and the Pharisees' job was to build the church. Their job was to go out and preach the gospel to the whole world. They didn't want to preach the gospel of Christ. So they were the builder. They set it at naught. We're not going to preach that. We're going to preach what we want to preach.
Amen.
So like what we hear today.
Amen.
We hear the folks that say, I don't want to preach the gospel because folks don't want to hear it. Preach, we want to hear. Preach what you guys want to hear. I'll take a survey and go around the community and find out what people want to hear. Well, we don't want to hear all the long prayers. And we don't like all them old hymns. We want some rock and roll. We want some jazz and get some saxophones and trumpets. And we want to jazz up. We don't want all that old school. That preaching for hours. We don't want that. Look at verse number 10 one more time. You see the whole gospel of God, the whole gospel of Christ presented. And then in verse number 11, he says this, and this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Mm-hmm. Peter's getting out of the way. Mm-hmm. Peter's getting out of the way. Yeah. He's letting you know who the rock is.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not the rock. I don't know how. Some churches got it wrong. They got Peter as the rock. First Pope, all that. You know, Peter said, I'm not the rock. I'm not the stone. He said, this is the stone.
Yeah.
This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner.
Yeah. Amen.
That's an important stone. Somebody called the keystone. You don't get that stone right. When you're setting your foundation, you don't get that stone right, the whole building is going to be a mess. But look at verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Now I was at work the other day, and I was with one of the volunteers came in and was talking to the inmates, preaching the gospel to inmates who really don't want to hear, and really, really just confrontational. And they kept asking him, why is your gospel right? Why do you believe the Bible is right? And he sort of got caught sort of hee-hawing, and I'm listening, I'm watching, well, you know, and backpedaling. It's right because God said it's right.
Amen. That's it.
And if you don't believe it's right, then it's wrong for you. You know, we don't have to hee-haw over this. We don't have to argue with folks who don't believe the gospel. Because it's only by faith that you can believe.
Amen.
So we don't get in an argument with folks. Well, you know, I think there's many ways to God. As Oprah would say, there's 100 ways to God. Well, that's not what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no man comes to the Father out but by me.
Amen.
And we got to rest our hat on that.
Amen.
Here's Peter. He's giving them the gospel, and they still don't want to hear it, but listen what he says. And he's going to be done with it. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. That's pretty dogmatic.
Amen.
See, we don't like being dogmatic because we got, you know, I got some Muslim friends. Well, you better enjoy your time with them now.
Amen.
Well, I got some Mormon friends. Well, I got some Jehovah's Witness friends. Well, you need to enjoy the time that you spend with them now because you won't spend eternity with them.
Amen.
This is exactly what Peter is saying. And we know, we you know, had a Sunday school lesson this morning. Folk come to you, got issues, got problems. The Word of God says, listen, here's what you tell them next time somebody come to you and want to borrow some money or got an issue. Consider your ways.
Mm-hmm.
Consider your ways. Well, you let all hell break it out of my life. Listen, consider your ways.
Uh-huh.
Think about how you are living. Think about how you worship God and how you praise the Lord and what you think about Jesus. Because they come into a believer. Now I got some new ammunition. You come to me?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say, consider your ways.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, you want all that Bible stuff. No, that's just what I am. Just consider your ways. Because the reason why you're in the mess you're in, maybe because your relationship with the Lord isn't right.
Amen.
It isn't where it should be. And you know it. You know it. I know it, because when I read that text today, I can consider my ways.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's not just for you, that's for us.
Amen.
That's for us. Stab me in the head.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Stab me in the head. Peter. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. Why, Peter? What is it? For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter said, not only that we must be saved. Okay? We got this gospel. Everybody's saved. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a believer. It's almost popular. It's never been popular to be saved. It's never been popular to be saved. We can be popular saved because we're not dogmatic. Okay? You talk about Jesus and folks, they don't care. Say something about Obama and folks are ready to cut your head off. Yeah, that's just the truth.
Amen.
Go to the barbershop. Talk about Obama. Or talk about Clinton. Or if you're Republican, talk about Bush. Folks ready to cut it.
Yeah.
You get a group of people to talk about Jesus. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So that's the home. He's the home. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. He's the home. He's coming. He's using prophetic language, Peter is. He's talking about Psalms 122. He says, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. What he's saying is, you Pharisees and scribes and all you unbelievers, you're going to have to deal with Christ.
Amen.
You're going to have to deal with him. He's going to be the judge. When you look at Hebrews 9:27, where there's appointed unto man once to die, then after that, the judgment. So you don't have to deal with him.
Amen.
You have to deal with him as judge. I'd rather deal with him as Savior.
Amen.
I'd rather deal with him as Lord and Savior rather than have to deal with him as judge. And have to sit here and plea bargain and file judicials and different things. I don't want to deal with him like that. I want to deal with him as Savior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to stand in judgment and have the cock deuces, as we used to say. Well, you know, I would have went to church more, but, you know, I had season tickets to the Browns games and the Steelers games and, you know, all that stuff. I'm going to stand before him as Savior.
Uh-huh.
That's the way you want to deal with him. Because you're going to deal with him as judge. Look at verse number 6. I'm just going to jump here. It says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone.
Yeah.
Elect and precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, confused, nor shall not be judged. See? What a shame. What a tragedy. Spend all your life in church and then stand before the Lord and have to go, Lord, Lord, you think I'm in the wrong line? Lord, Lord, remember me. Oh, it sounds so pretty. gave so much. Picked up paper in the parking lot. Headed up committees. Love my pastor. That should get quiet. That should quiet the church. So who's coming? How's he coming? As a living stone. As a living stone. Peter is saying that the Lord is coming as a living stone. Okay? And that living stone, he's coming not only in person, but he's coming as through the word of God. And Peter, again, is getting out of the way. Remember in Mark, turn to Mark. This is interesting enough to turn to. In Mark chapter 16, we see this situation here with, Matthew 16. We see Peter. Well, I love to hear pages flipping. You know, Matthew, you just sit right there, flip the pages loud. We didn't get the computer aid folks that bring their computers to church, and I don't know if they playing Pac-Man or flipping the pages.
Amen.
The new improved Pac-Man. Now we studied this in Mark, but we see Peter and the disciples, they following Jesus. They follow Jesus. That's what a disciple does. And it got to Matthew 16 and 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Now we talk about this in Mark. That was a place where there were all types of idols, and they worshiped idols, and you had to go in front of the idols and say, Caesar is Lord.
Yeah.
Now Jesus got his disciples there. That's probably what's going on. And he said to his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You know what? You're going to have to answer that question. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm here to help you today.
Yeah.
You have to answer that question. It's got to be enough. Well, I'm a Christian.
Uh-huh.
Or I was baptized. Mm-hmm. Or I was an usher. Or I went to church. That's not going to be enough.
No.
You're going to have to explain who Jesus is. Is.
Yeah.
That's what God want to know. That's your entrance.
Uh-huh.
Talked to a man the other day, and he said, I'm a Christian. I said, see, that's not enough for me. He said, I'm a Christian. What makes you a Christian? Well, I don't judge people. Well, you are a Christian, you ought to.
Amen.
Because I'm going to judge you right now that you're not a Christian. And I said, it takes more than that to be a Christian. See, to be a Christian, you got to believe that God in the flesh was born of a virgin, walked this earth,
yes,
crucified on Calvary's cross, buried, rose on the third day, and then ascended into heaven, and is now sitting on the right hand of God. That made his eyes like a flew out his head. And he's looking at me like, I ain't never heard that before. This is a Christian.
Uh-huh.
This is a Christian. Never heard that before. Listen. You're going to run into somebody like me one day. So stop telling everybody you're a Christian if you're not.
Amen.
Mm. You need to know that.
Amen.
So, let me say that song today. It's good to know.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Uh-huh.
He's the what?
Live every time.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Joy.
Hope for tomorrow. Oh man!
Yeah.
You need to know that.
Yeah.
Here's Peter. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, you call yourself a disciple? You call yourself a follower? You need to be able to answer this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You a learner? He asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Excuse me. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You know what? Don't you love those kind of questions in school? When it gives you the answer, right? The question?
Mm-hmm.
I love him. They on that test. Listen. And they said, amen, baby. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. And others, Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am?
Yeah.
Oh, Peter couldn't turn this one down. I guess he looked around, there ain't nobody answering it. I'm going to answer this. Amen. And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me say that again. Who is Jesus? It's on the test. This is on the test. This is when you highlight it. You got all your highlights. This is on the test. It's a one question test. And Jesus said unto him, wait a minute, I'm getting all ahead of myself. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He aced it. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's a lot.
Amen.
That's a lot of information there. Now, he's not saying Peter's a rock. He said Peter had a rock-like statement. And boy, you can stand on that. Peter had a rock-like statement, and you can stand on that rock. Listen, thou art Christ. That's who's coming. That's who's coming. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2. And whom coming as unto a living stone. As unto a living stone. Ephesians, we talk about Ephesians. And Paul, his message didn't change. It didn't vary that much from Peter's. Here's Paul in Ephesians 2, 20 and 22. He's talking about this rock that you can build on. And he said, in our build, he's talking about the disciples, he's talking about the Gentiles, he's talking about believers, and are built upon the foundation of who? Of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grow up into a holy temple in the Lord. We got to build on Christ. If you got a relationship with God that's not built on Christ, I'm here to tell you, hell going to be full of folks that believe in God.
Amen.
And let me say that one more time. Hell will be full of folks that believe in God.
Amen.
We get home. Look at the next thing we see here in verse number 4. Not only is he coming, not only is he alive in these stones, he's going to be rejected. He's a rejected stone. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be that word disallowed indeed of men. Men will never accept the gospel. They will not. I heard Dave praying. A man want to do something. It's done. People say, examine yourself. We have our communion this morning. Examine yourself. Yeah, look, check yourself. You know what you need to really check? Here's what you really need to check. Here's what you really need to examine. Do I believe the scriptures?
Amen.
It's not about how you live it. It's not about, well, you know, I drink a little, or I gamble a little, or I do a little bit of sin here. No, that's not. The examination we're talking about. Do you believe the gospel?
Amen.
It starts there.
Amen.
It starts there. Do you really believe the gospel? That's just an interesting question. And it has to be answered. Do I believe? That's what communion is. Do I really believe this? Or am I just following the footsteps of my mother and grandmother and grandfather? I didn't just church. What you do on Sunday?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's changing, folks.
Amen.
Cause we got a generation of children that don't believe church. What you do on Sunday no more?
Yeah.
Sunday is your day of rest. You sleep in. You go fishing. You go golfing. Softball games, track meets, tennis matches, flea market. I mean, the flea market on Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday. Baseball games. going to take more than that. He's rejected. Look at this. Followers of Christ. If he was rejected, how are we going to get through this life being accepted? Look at Luke 9:22. Here's what God is saying about our Savior. And this is the whole lesson about our Savior. It's not popular. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Talking about who Christ is. Mm-hmm. He must be. He must suffer. This whole idea of a Christ that don't suffer is foreign to the Word of God. Amen. He had to suffer. He had to die. He was chosen for this. We don't get chosen next. He was chosen for this task. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, we don't want to teach this. Because we think we're going to scare folks away. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. The same will not be judged on his life because it's Christ's life.
Amen.
None of us like rejection. This is why we have so many followers. So many of our young people, peer group pressure, you know. One start acting a fool, the other one start acting a fool. And it's a chain reaction.
True.
Just a chain reaction, you know. I talk to my Sunday school teachers on Wednesday night. It's just a chain reaction.
Amen.
One person tell a joke, everybody got to laugh. It ain't funny. It's just, I'm just a follower.
Amen.
I just can't think. I can't wait to go see the Wiz. I want to see who plays the scarecrow. And the lion. I mean, don't you? I mean, you know, y'all know I love Wizard of Oz. It's the greatest movie ever made. Because our world is full of cowardly lions and mindless scarecrows. You can't think and you don't have the courage to stand. Don't have the courage to say, I'm not going to be a part of that.
Amen.
I'm just going to follow the yellow brick road straight to hell.
Amen.
I like the part when they got to the scarecrow and they said, which way? He did like this. That's how some of us are. Which way to heaven, man? Church all life. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Listen. Verse number four. You see, to whom he, Jesus, he's unto a living stone. He was rejected. But listen, he wasn't rejected by God. He was chosen. Now, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not getting into all that deep stuff about being chosen. Because, you know, I think folks take it way out of context here.
Amen.
God has chose Jesus for the job.
All right.
For the job. Look at John 3. This is popular, but we're going to take it all the way to 18 today. All the way to 18. But I'm and I got three scriptures here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. Now look at the chosen part. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. God's word is not a condemning word. It's a confrontational word. It's a confronting word.
Amen.
And no one saved in here that hasn't been confronted.
Amen.
God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus, God sent his Son to die for our sins, that you will not go to hell because sin will not enter into heaven.
Amen.
Die in your sins.
Amen.
If you want to. I don't want to do your funeral. It's going to be tough. There's some preachers here that specialize in sending hell-bound sinners to heaven.
Uh-huh.
Call one of them up and say, my baby died. And she was shacking up and they was living together. She was getting high. But how does she love the Lord?
Uh-huh.
She had a heart attack at the casino. Tell the guy to run the casino to come and do a funeral.
Uh-huh.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth on him not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
So when you talk to your Muslim friends and your Jehovah's friends and your Mormon friends, and they tell you, well, we believe in Jesus. No, you don't. Not that one.
Amen.
They don't believe in that one because any Muslim will tell you God has no, Allah has no son.
Uh-huh.
You go to Mecca and across the temple of Mecca and say Allah has no son. Well, we don't believe he's Jesus Christ. We don't believe Jesus Christ is God's son. We believe he's a good prophet. Well, you don't believe that.
Amen.
See, you don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. And the Mormons say, well, Jesus didn't start off as God's son. He worked his way up to that. See, we can become Jesus in Mormonism. Not probably none of us, but we ain't rich enough. Because a lot of money becomes Jesus as a Mormon. Listen. He's the son of the living God. And he was chosen for a job. Romans 5:8 puts it like this. But God, I like that. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The worst one in here, doing whatever you want to do, understand this, God died for you.
Amen.
God died for you.
Yeah.
But he's not going to go to hell with you.
Amen.
He died for you. But he's not going to hell with you.
Okay,
1 John 4:9. And this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Through him. How do I live through him? You got to have him in you.
Amen.
When he's in you, he's going to take over.
Amen.
The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He's a heart issue. You ever see somebody taking breath mints? They're taking breath mints. They always got a breath mint. They're always chewing gum. They tell preachers to do that because we're in the talking business. But you talk to somebody with some historically bad breath. The issue is not what's coming out of them. The issue is in the heart. The issue is down in your stomach. Your body is not metabolizing food properly, and it's causing you to have a chronic odor in your breath.
Amen.
Or you might have gum disease or something. You might have gum disease. You may need to go see the dentist. But it's chewing the gum only masks the problem. Okay? Nobody here got that. Look at this last part. Not the last part. Look at this next point. I like this one here. Oh, how precious is the Lord. I had that song by Tommy Dorsey. Listen. To whom coming as unto a living stone. How about that? Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious.
Amen.
And precious. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Think about that word precious. What does that word precious mean? Anyone in here have anything precious? I think about Roy when he came up here and how precious Zaire is to him. I remember Evelina and how hurt she was when he injured his eye. And he's just precious to him.
Amen.
And when we think about things that are precious to us, and we try to put them in life, but God to the believer, Jesus Christ to the believer, I can sit here and I can find out and tell right away if someone truly loves the Lord. Because Jesus Christ becomes precious to him.
Amen.
I'm at work, and you know, I get a couple breaks a day. Some people say I don't do nothing. I just make it look easy, you know. And they come off and I'm reading, I'm studying, because I get an opportunity to read the Bible. And an inmate come off and say, "You just got here. It's quarter after seven, and you already read the Bible." He said, "You stay on it, don't you?" And I do. It's just who I am.
Amen.
It's just who I am. It's just, the Word of God is just precious to me. You know, I'll be studying, and the boys be coming to my offices, and I'll be trying to be nice. And there ain't no nice way to tell somebody to get out of the office. And Josh and Micah, they come in there, looking around. You know, they see I'm getting that. I'm just highlighting and typing and looking, and they be like, I know they be thinking, this has got to be precious to him. I said, the door. Cindy came in there last night. She wanted me to debrief her and update her on all my activities of the day, since she didn't share with me all the way. And I said, not now. Not now. I'm getting it. I said, I'm getting it. And God was speaking to me, and I was getting it. Cindy said, okay, I understand. And I updated her this morning. But you know, it's just precious. Your times where you study God's Word and you pray and you fellowship, are there precious times? And I was saying this morning, I had the boys out here yesterday. We were out here all day. Cindy Brown come in a little late. I'm at home. And I want the boys to feel like they're at home when they're at church.
Amen.
That's what I was telling Mark. I said, you know, they drink some pops. You know? I said, that's part of my salary. Josh picked up probably a six-pack. But they with me 5 hours. Huh? You know, that's all they want is pops. Like, you're going to stick all the pups. I'll get Teddy back in a little while. She ain't as strict as Margaret. but listen. Look at Mark chapter. Oh, Lord, I hope I got this right. I don't think I do. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 9. His God speaking about his son. I think I got it right. We're going to talk about preciousness, and I'm going to let y'all go. Enjoy the day. Y'all enjoy it better once you've been with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Mark chapter 1. His God talking about his son. You know, his Islamic friends won't quote this scripture to you. Chapter 1. Look at verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. And there came a voice from heaven. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son. Here's our word. In whom I am well pleased." God, in God's sight, Jesus was precious to him. Psalms, and when I preached Mother Allen's funeral, it was so easy.
Yeah.
It was so easy. And when the scripture I used in Psalms 116 and 50 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints." Think about that. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. Oh, you ought to just, that ought to just change your life. Oh, I want to be precious to God when I die. When I leave here, I want God to say, "Precious, welcome home. Precious, welcome home." Listen. Peter loved that word precious in chapter 1 of Peter, verse 7 says, "In that the trial of your faith being more precious than gold and that perishes, though it be tried with fire," 1:19 of Peter, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus' blood was precious. It was precious.
Amen.
And here we have this great story. And here's a woman who understood. Here's a woman who understood what God came to do. She understood John 3:16. She understood Romans 5:8. She understood that God while we were yet sinners, died for us. She knew that he was chosen for the task. We're talking about this woman in Mark 14 and chapter verse number 3. 2 days before Jesus was to go to the cross. 2 days before she was to go to the cross, here's this woman performing this precious act. Mark 14. It says, and after 2 days was the feast of the Passover. And what that means is 2 days from now, Jesus was going down the cross. We're in Mark 14. And of unleavened bread, and the Passover of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. Oh, how many of y'all know Jesus went down after he got on the cross?
Amen.
God said he's going down the cross. Guess what? He's down on the cross right now. If God said he's going down the cross for the sins of the world, he's going down the cross. But they said, didn't matter what they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, that's that great city where Lazarus was resurrected. Bethany is the town where Jesus ascended into heaven. Bethany, a lot of folks think their kids, Bethany, all that. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, he wasn't a leper no more, God, he healed him. He was just a, like some of us, healed and evil. She come out of hospital, it's a blessing.
Amen.
Some of us been to hospital 100 times. Come out, we go right back doing what we was doing. Praise the Lord. Send the preacher up. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat. And there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. This woman knew this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. She brought what was precious to her. And she wasn't planning on saving any of it. When you put your spikenard in them alabaster box, the only way you was going to get it out of it.
Break it.
And it was precious to her. She said, and the word of God said, it was very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head.